So a little background with this first case, Duvall versus Diemenbrunn. I may be pronouncing that name incorrectly, so if that's anybody here's last name, I apologize, or if you know anybody, feel free to correct me. But Diemenbrunn and Dowds obtained a judgment against Norris Duvall related to the purchase of a piece of real estate. Diemenbrunn and Dowds sought a turnover order against Norris Duvall's community property to satisfy the judgment, which included Norris's wife Paulette's undivided one-half interest in the 206 Camellia Partnership. The 206 Camellia Partnership was owned 50.1% by Gene Duvall, who is Norris's brother, and 49.9% by Paulette. The 206 Camellia Partnership's principal asset was real property valued at approximately $75,000. When you get in the cases, there was talk about, well, what was it listed by one of the owners on some list of assets, and then what was it the tax appraisal value for? And they bounced around a little bit, but it was in the neighborhood of $75,000 to $80,000. So as we continue to go through these facts, you'll start to see, I think, some of the bad facts that I think led to how this decision happened. 2 days after the request for the turnover order, Gene Duvall notified Paulette Duvall of her default under the partnership agreement and ultimately bought out her partnership interest for $5,000, including making his first annual payment of $1,000 to buy out the interest. So we see that disparity between the value of the asset in the partnership and what the buyout is. So I think you can probably start to guess where some of this looks a little bit peculiar, and how convenient that Paulette breached the agreement, just coincidence with the occurrence of the turnover order. The turnover order was granted, and Norris and Paulette Duvall were ordered not to dispose of their community property. Now, if you didn't have this disparity in the pricing, if they had really received some fair approximation of what her value was in the partnership, then you may have just had the parties say, you know what, you received the cash for your partnership interest, we'll just take that. But obviously with that disparity, we start to dig deeper, and the plaintiffs in the original case who were holding the judgment weren't quite satisfied that, well, I can get $5,000 over 5 years. So based on a fraudulent transfer claim, Diemenbrunn and Dowds were given a temporary injunction ordering Gene Duvall not to transfer, sell, encumber, or otherwise dispose of the property owned by the 206 Camellia Partnership. This gets addressed a little bit in more detail later in the case, but suddenly, in addition to just suddenly realizing kind of when the judgment creditors are knocking on the door, that, oh yeah, by the way, Paulette breached the partnership agreement. We just forgot to enforce it before. We also have the issue where he says, oh yeah, by the way, the partnership has some liabilities. We owe some taxes, some things like that. So we need to go out and get a loan, and we were going to pledge the real estate owned by the partnership as collateral. So even what limited value there was there in the partnership, suddenly they're trying to kind of lock that down. So you see the other fact, and so the court steps in and says, you can't do anything with that property. We're considering this fraudulent transfer claim. Gene Duvall challenged the temporary injunction against transfer of the partnership property is violative of the charging order statute. So, you know, we've got a, and remember here, we're looking at kind of two levels deep, because it's not just talking about the membership interest, because the court did say the husband and wife can't transfer that partnership interest, but it's also telling the brother, who is ostensibly the only owner now with the buyout of Paulette, that you can't transfer the property. And we've got the provision in the statute that says, hey, you don't have any remedy against the property of the partnership. Diemenbrunn and Dowds argued that temporary injunction was proper under Texas Uniform Fraudulent Transfer Act to prevent fraudulent transfer of Paulette's partnership interest to Gene. So they're really tying it together that, you know, you're taking this from me, and even to the extent I can ever get my partnership back, if you allow this to go through, the partnership interest is going to be worthless because the property is going to be encumbered. So the court proceeds with a fairly lengthy analysis that I've really tried to boil down. Court determined that the charging order restrictions and the equitable remedies under the fraudulent transfer laws could be harmonized and read to operate concurrently. Tufto allows creditor to obtain an injunction, an equitable remedy, against allegedly fraudulent fraudulently transferred partnership assets. The charging order rules only prohibit equitable remedy against the partnership property to satisfy the judgment. Therefore, charging order rules do not prohibit equitable remedy against partnership property in all circumstances. If you read all the way through the case, I think it's a fairly, it's a fairly tortured analysis. There's a dissent in the case where the dissenting judge certainly disagrees with the conclusion of the majority on that point of how it's characterized and being able to reach through to that property. But nevertheless, they said the trial court may grant equitable relief to preserve partnership assets, but only the minimum reasonable restraint necessary to do so. So again, this is where they start to bring back up and bury the lead a little bit in the case. This is where they start to talk about, well, you know, you're wondering as you read the case, well, why does it matter if the husband and wife can't transfer the partnership property and the brother's sitting there holding the interest he brought back? What's really the harm? We're going to sort out if that's a fraudulent transfer. What's the concern on property? Well, then the court brings out the brother's plan to go encumber the real estate. The court found that the temporary injunction protected the value of Paulette Duvall's partnership interest, which was alleged to have been taken away fraudulently by Gene.